Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. Happy Bi Visibility Week. Woo! My name is Rafi Friedman Gerspan, and I am a Senior Associate Director for Public Engagement here at the White House, responsible for the LGBT portfolio. It's so wonderful to be here with you all, colleagues, friends, members of the bisexual and allied community, including those watching from home. We are being live streamed, so we're very excited about that. I would really like to thank, and I mean, she really doesn't need much of an introduction. You all know her, is Faith Cheltenham and her team from Binet USA. Come on up here, Faith. Faith helped bring so many of you here from across the nation, and we're so excited to be doing this. What is this, the third annual?
Oh, it's the third annual. Yeah. We're just so excited. Just again, Rafi, thank you for everything. I'm going to jump back and
help. Yeah, no problem.
I just couldn't resist my
yeah. well, my remarks will be brief, folks. On behalf of President Obama and my boss, Valerie Jarrett, we're excited to kick off this briefing, which will feature discussions on the steps that community leaders and administration officials have taken together to support bisexuals and underline the challenges ahead for the community. Specifically, we will discuss the disproportionate risks of mental and physical health struggles, poverty, addiction, and violence, and the needs for a fully inclusive federal non-discrimination protections. In the past 8 years, this administration has worked hard to ensure that diverse identities are protected for all Americans, and that includes bisexuals. President Obama signed the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act in 2009 that expanded federal hate crimes laws and protections, and in 2010 ended the restrictive Don't Ask, Don't Tell military service policy, both of which impacted the lives of bisexuals. Later in the presidency, he issued an executive order prohibiting employment discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity by federal contractors and subcontractors. And our president has been vocally supportive of the need to update our nation's non-discrimination protections to make clear all people should be treated equally, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. Through the Affordable Care Act, all Americans, including those in the bisexual community, have greater access to health care. And I would remind folks that open enrollment is coming up starting in November and will be open until December 15th. Yet, despite this progress, the bisexual community still disproportionately lacks health insurance as compared to other groups. I don't know if folks realize that, but that is a fact. The Department of Housing and Urban Development has also taken steps to ensure access to housing for all people, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And just over a year ago, President Obama was proud to join millions of Americans in declaring "Love Wins" following the Supreme Court's ruling bringing the freedom to marry to same-sex couples nationwide, including bisexual identified couples. As you know, this past Friday, our community marked the 18th annual Bisexual Visibility Day, the centerpiece of a week of dedication to honoring the unique contributions and experiences of bisexual people. It is an occasion for our country to reflect on and recognize the generations of bisexual leaders who have led their lives openly and visibly and proudly, committed to creating a more just and equal nation. The administration has long stood alongside the community, and today we look forward to hosting bisexual advocates and allies and continuing the dialogue about the vital work ahead. Thank you so much for joining us, and without further ado, let's go.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm so excited to have with us one of the earliest organizers from Binet USA, Victor Raymond, and he's here to do something really, I think, special and important. So take it away.
I am Victor Raymond. I am a member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe, and I stand here with you today as an out bisexual two-spirit man. Today, we are here at the White House, and I call upon the ancestors to witness our presence and for the Great Spirit, Wankantanka, to guide our words and thoughts so that we can speak true and strong. As bisexual people, we have always been here. Amongst my people, the Lakota Sioux, two-spirit people, bisexuals, gay, lesbian people, as they are now known, transgender people, were given a gift, a medicine, to share with the members of the tribe. It was Wankan. A mystery, but it was proper, and it was part of our community. Now we are faced with new times, when bisexual people, two-spirit people, others that we now know as LGBTQ, are not recognized and our place in the community questioned. But bi and trans people, and particularly now amongst many tribes and communities, bisexual, transgender, Native women in particular face challenge and discrimination. We stand with them and with all people whose place is no longer recognized. And we wish to stand with them now so their security and place in our communities is restored. As bisexual people, we are also called to stand with other struggles against oppression, including, but certainly not limited to, no to the Dakota Access Pipeline. The Creator gave us our water and land so that it would be protected and not put at risk. And those people who forget that forget what they do to everyone, including us. Also, Black Lives Matter. And the battle for safety for immigrants here, as well as abroad, here in North America, what Native people call Turtle Island. This is something that has gone on for a very long time and divided Native people across boundaries that they did not have any say in setting. So we are called as bisexual people today to witness this and to fight with bisexual and allied communities together to end struggles of oppression so that we come out in the end with justice and victory for us all. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's hear it one more time. All right. Let's make sure that we're keeping our Native communities and all nations forefront. So next we have up Heather Benjamin and Lynette McFadden. Heather Benjamin is the co-president of the Bisexual Resource Center. And Lynette McFadden is the Binet USA secretary.
Hi, everyone. Hi. I'm Lynette McFadden. I am the secretary of Binet USA. I am an elderly, disabled, bisexual, demisexual identified. She, her, they, them.
Hi, and I'm Heather, and I identify as a bi queer femme, and I'm also representing the Bisexual Resource Center.
Oh, we want to welcome you to this historic event for our bisexual community today. Give yourselves a hand.
So we in the bi community, we're really awesome, right? We celebrate and we embrace all types of people, all walks of life, and all identities. Anywhere from pansexual to omnisexual to two-spirited to queer, fluid, gender nonconforming, and even no labels. Just take them all in and hug them. So, if you are a member of the Bi Plus community and you're here today, we invite you, please, if you're able, to stand up or to raise your hand and be represented and be visible today.
Thank you all for your hard work.
Woo! Thank you for being here, and happy Bi Visibility Week.
Next, we have Monique Honeybird Mizrahi. And Monique is a singer-songwriter based in New York City, right? And we're really delighted to be able to showcase some of the resiliency and fortitude of bi communities with some of our best and brightest from our own community. So enjoy.
Soul. Love, soul, love, soul, love, soul, love, soul, love, soul, love. Keep it up. Soul, love, 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 soul, love. The soul of the people is the love of the people, from square of the rivers to the square of the people. Soul, love, soul, love. Soul of the people is the love of the people, from square of the rivers to the square of the people. Dressing is a blessing, keeps us from stressing, where to when, how to, who to admire. Social networks give the blues, nature is muse, increase your IQ. You put the B in LGBT. You put the B in LGBT. You put the B in. You put the B in. Oh, nature of the beast, flow of the known, flight of light, key of lesbian minor. Nature of the beast, flow of the known, flight of light, key of lesbian minor. Minor! Yeah. Pride assign. Pride assign. They might be LGBTQ. They might be LGBT too. They might be LGBT too. They might be LGBTQ. Ba 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 ba.
Fantastic. So next we have just a fantastic treat and delight. Andrea Jenkins, Black trans oral historian and poet.
I'm sorry, I can't get enough. I just love it.
What an honor to be here with you all today at this August occasion. Bag Lady Manifesto. Hashtag say her name. Hashtag Black Trans Lives Matter. A deepened understanding of race and culture requires the following, and then some. Truth-telling for immortality, a recognition of historical trauma, an honest assessment of capitalism and its inherent violence. "Don't wall me in," Pilate said to the updated finger. They could perform all that jazz. Carmen said, "Burning black arts is a sin." We do what we do. We do what they don't know. We know what they don't know. Blocks of art, talks art, walks art, dances on needles, all scratchy like a 78 wax recording of Bessie Smith. Lions sleeping, dread locked hair with gray streaks of wisdom, quickened with the blues. Ah, yes, the blues. Am I blue? Hand over one eye, the good one, so I can see you one more time. Reflection, black bodies linking all oppressions, annihilating psychosocial development with lead-based drinking water. Cesar, notebooks on a return to a native land. The black, queer, literati are always classifying what we make as art, always a quest for wholeness. I am narrative, vernacular, always cool, coupled with the use of the body. Let it play, black. Working against the forms given to us, we make jazz. It's a black thing. This free black child of transgender experience, of inner city Chicago, of stifling institutions of white supremacy, of great shoulders to stand upon, of crystal dreams, but Andre's reality. Hello from the other side of Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions. The body never forgets, never, never forget this moment, ephemeral. The beautiful ones, they hurt you every time. Oppression is the limitation of choices. Let us moan so the devil don't know what we talking about. Our existence is experiment, is created, is perpetuated, is sustained by individuals, but no less a system. Looking back, once upon a time, I saw panels upon panels, and nobody was selected from the first round or the second round. She wore a winged pendant on a tarnished silver chain that left a green ring just over her neckline. But she wasn't selected either. "Is this a witch's brew?" she asked when it was time to leave. Red beans and brown rice were being served to the late homecomers now. There is an equational relationship occurring just under the surface. It's not really a rule that black men shouldn't date doe-eyed, big booty white girls, but the consequences are significant enough to make him think twice. Other times, there was an artist that fell to earth and shook the ground. "Let's dance," they said, "under the moonlight, the serious moonlight." Rainbows and roses, pink jasmine and diamonds, and pearls are a few of my favorite things. Sleeping lions dream of a day filled with naked juices and juicy fruits. All of a sudden, there are angry protesters demanding justice. "Black lives matter," they shout from the rafters above the fray. But the feels are real, though. Black brilliance equals Miles equals Billy equals Malcolm equals Harriet equals sacred spirits. 10, 17, 2015, bearing witness at fire and ink, we represent, submerge, consider, make, survive, archive, document the essence of passages, of journeys. The soul's genesis is identity. Existence surges, rhymes, sparks, transitions. A treasure is art that speaks of hope and love. I heard there's a new Black Panther emerging, that dude that makes the case for reparations. But I wonder, is he thinking about gender-neutral bathrooms for his mama, for his grandmama, for his son's baby mama? You don't have to be a woman to be a feminist, you know? I go to political rallies at malls in America, halls of capitalistic greed, and I struggle, forced to move between two sides, Black, trans. One for the love of power, one for the sake of power, one in service to power. That becomes my relationship to risk. Connected strings of images that bring you to a moment, to connect your experience to what is happening on stage. Everything you do, everything you don't do, deceives. When I love, you are no longer my enemy. But the words you spoke, I keep within me. Langston Hughes once said, nobody loves a genius child. But my beautiful genius children keep dying in the streets. Black, trans, girl, brilliance. Shining so bright, the boys on the corner can't escape their light. They reach for the heavens, but the girls throw shade, then step back to their villas and sip lemonade. The recent celebrity visibility that clearly does nothing for the most vulnerable makes us all targets for bigots and state houses whose hatred is uncontrollable. And just like the mothers of Sandra Bland and Rekia Board and Corrine Gaines, the mother of these children's pain is inconsolable too. Monica Loera, 43-year-old trans Latina woman. Jasmine Sierra, 52-year-old Latina trans woman. Caden Clark, 24-year-old white trans man. Monica Pineda Rivera, trans woman. Veronica Banks Cano, Black trans woman. Maya Young, 25-year-old Black trans woman. Demarcus Stansberry, 30-year-old African-American transgender man. Kadari Candace Johnson, 16-year-old Black gender-fluid child. Courtney Yoakum, 32-year-old trans woman of color. Shantae Thompson, 34-year-old Black trans woman. Kiana Blakeney, 22-year-old Black trans woman. Reese Walker, 32-year-old Black trans woman. Mercedes Successful, 32-year-old Black trans woman. Amos Beatty, 38-year-old homeless transgender man. Goddess Diamond, 20-year-old Black trans woman. Daniqua Dodds, 22-year-old Black trans woman. Dee Wiggum, 25-year-old Black trans woman. Sky Mockaby, 26-year-old Black trans woman. Erica Tanira, 36-year-old Latina trans woman. Raylan Thomas, 28-year-old Black trans woman. The human touch. Strategize today. Strategize tomorrow. But when we say tomorrow, we really mean today. Today, breathe, sigh, shed tears, laugh, if that helps. Call your mama, brother, daughter, sister, son. Tell them you love them. Tell them we survived terrorism before, lived through dehumanization and cultural starvation. Tell them not to think about unarmed black folks assaulted, killed for holding guns, selling loose cigarettes, listening to rap music at a gas station, for knocking on the door and asking for help, for wearing a bikini at a pool party, for laughing on a wine train, for wearing hoodies, for going to church. Tell them to strategize about that tomorrow. But when we say tomorrow, we really mean today. Thank you.
So we should ask that question. Do black, bi, trans lives matter? I think they do. So, you know, we're really, you know, thrilled. Thank you so much, Andrea, for sharing that piece of moonlight with us, right? That piece of ourselves that, you know, intersects so many aspects of ourselves. So we're gonna be getting set up for a panel, and it's gonna be about bisexual allies. That's something I think we're really excited. Something we're really excited to tell you. So I'm like, you saw that, I'm like, yeah, I got you guys. Done this before. People always forget I used to do stand-up, right? But I had to stop doing stand-up because you gotta get here? Do you wanna move this?
All right.
Here we go. I'll grab a, I don't need a mic, right?
A mic right there.
Listen, we're flexible people. We can fit here or there. Yeah, so this is great. Thank you so much. So we're getting set up with this wonderful table. I'm just like, this is so cool. I got one of these at home. You can see some great arrangement. So I want to introduce to the stage Angela Dallara, Director of External Communications for Freedom for All Americans, as well as Dr. Brian Dodge, Associate Director of the Bisexual Research Collective on Health at Indiana University. As well as his father, David Dodge, Esquire, a bi ally. So thank you so much, Angela and Dr. Brian Dodge and Mr. David Dodge, Esquire, for joining us.
Thank you, Faith. Thank you, everyone, for being here. My name is Angela Dallara. I work at Freedom for All Americans, which is the national campaign dedicated to passing non-discrimination laws in the U.S. that protect LGBT people from being fired or refused services for who they are. My organization works with BiNet USA on the Bi Stories Project, which is a national initiative to tell the stories of bisexual people and the ones who love them. For so many of us in this community, it is so difficult to be visible, but at the same time, it's important to tell the stories of our allies, of our families and friends and coworkers who are there for us. And I'm happy to be here with Dr. Brian Dodge and his father, David Dodge. Dr. Dodge is a public health researcher and expert on bisexuality, and his father has
expert.
Been there.
Yeah.
But his father has been there for him on this journey from the beginning. And I'd like to open it up to you, Brian, and if you can tell us a little bit about what it means to have that support.
Thank you, Angela. And I just want to start by saying it means everything to have that support. And I told myself I'm not going to cry, and I'm already starting, but I want to thank you for the beautiful stories that you've written in this project. I remember a colleague of mine, Miguel Munoz-Laboy, who's here today, where we were at a public health conference talking about what kind of interventions can we do to improve health among bisexual people. And I'll never forget Miguel showed a photo of an older couple and said, we need images of bisexual people's families. And we need positive images. What does it look like to be a bisexual family? And when I read the story that you wrote for me in this project, and I was waiting for the right moment to show it to my dad. We were told we were going to, you know, be on a panel. We didn't know we were going to be the panel. But I showed him the story yesterday morning, and he cried. And I just really want to say thank you to him for always being there for me, for always loving me for who I am and encouraging me to be who I am, that I need to be who I am, for never telling me that I'm confused or in denial or just kidding myself or buy now, gay later, or, you know, any of the other things that we hear over and over every day in our lives. More than anything, for my dad, when I first, you know, came out, he said to me, everyone deals with this. Everyone thinks about these things, and he never made it an issue for me, and that for me meant more than I think he'll ever know.
Thank you so much. And will you say a few words to David about why you think it's important to support your bisexual son?
Well, first I'd like to say what a privilege it is to be here with my son Brian, who I've always loved and been so proud of, and with all of you. This is a very special group. I've gotten to meet some of you and talking to you today, and this is really very much a privilege for me to be here. And Brian always made it easy for his mother and I to accept, because he's just such a generous, loving, giving person, very, very gifted and talented, and it really hasn't been a challenge or a struggle at all. It's been something that's been a real blessing on our family, for all of us. And I think all of you who know Brian know why we are so proud of him and happy for him as we are, including being here on this panel today with my son, who I have loved and will always love, and with all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I want to bring it back to Brian. One more thing. You do really amazing research on bisexual-specific health issues, and some of the new research that you've done shows that, at best, attitudes are ambivalent towards bisexual people. Can you talk about that a bit?
So I'm really grateful to be here, both as a bisexual person, but also as a bisexual health researcher. And my colleagues, Wendy Bostwick, my doctoral student, Jessamine Bowling, who's an assistant professor now, Miguel, Mackey, so many, Tanya, all of us that are doing this work, which is so challenging, because I think we're told constantly, you can't be a scientist and you can't be an activist. And, you know, it can come actually from both sides. And I'm here to say, you can't be a scientist and not be an activist. But, you know, all my colleagues in the Bisexual Research Collaborative on Health and folks all over that are doing this work are doing great work. But we just did a nationally representative survey that's generalizable to the U.S. population. It's a paper coming out soon in PLOS One. Put it out to y'all. But basically, there's only been one other population survey on attitudes toward bisexual people, and it was done only on heterosexual participants. And that was in the mid-90s, and those results showed that attitudes were toward bisexual people were lower than attitudes toward any other social group except injecting drug users. It was Gregory Herrick at University of California. So we did a nationally representative survey last year of the general population in the United States with gay, lesbian, bisexual, and other, many other identities. And we found that the vast majority of people in the United States really neither agree nor disagree in terms of that basically microaggression statements about bisexual people. So I feel like we've moved a little bit up from the bottom of the barrel, but we still, you know, looking at population surveys with gay and lesbian, you know, attitudes toward homosexuality, same-sex marriage that are sweepingly positive now, we have a lot of work to do. And just being in this setting here, and I think having allies that are there for us, I know we can do it.
I think that's a testament to the importance of this storytelling, and I hope that you'll all help us and get involved, and you can learn more at www.bistories.org. And thank you, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. So, you may have noticed I got a little hot. So, really excited that we're able to even be here today with the help of the Bi Stories Project and to see these amazing stories of family acceptance, right? It's really important. So, next, we have an amazing musical performance coming up, and the stage is going to be changed out by our wonderful staff because it's not going to be changed out. So, really. So since it's not going to be changed out, we're going to have people perform as they like to perform. Would you? Is that okay? So we're going to get set up for that. We have a wonderful singer-songwriter, Robin Renee, who's here from... Wonderful. See? Flexible. Right? So wonderful. Thank you so much, guys. So, and Robin Renee has been in bi advocacy, actively performing and doing amazing things for our community and the BNLGBT for a long time. So I'm really excited about this. Take it away, Robin.
Thank you. Ooh. much care for the rules. And he stands beside me so confidently as he slips past his childhood foolish lies. I see the allure of his veil, and I embrace all of him. Every embroidered detail. Ooh, ooh. And I've seen people carry on, whoa, so aimlessly. I have seen all that good in humanity. Everything we can be, let it be you and me, my bride. He fixes his stockings beneath the gown that he bought, and I see for the first time today. Beneath the gown that he bought, and I see for the first time today. Marry one day. Maybe we'll marry one day. Maybe we'll marry one day. Maybe I'll marry one day.
Thank you.
So next we have just a delightful treat. It looks like we have a video clip here from Still Bisexual, which is a national media campaign created by Nicole Kristol, who's one of our longest running advocates, who's constantly creating new and innovative ways for bi people to be visible. So you can learn more about the project on stillbisexual.com. And this is a great video here. Are we ready to play it? Awesome. Thank you.